Okay, that's good. I'm like a small prayer for I go. Father, just thank you for this day, Father God, for preparing me, Father God. I thank you, Father, for preparing me, Father God, and going before me, Father God, to do this sermon, Father God. Father God, may I be your mouth for you in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Okay, wow. What a day for me to see all you guys. You know, how many days have I always opened when I'm up here? I'm so happy to see you guys every time, you know. It comes from the Psalm 133. Well, if you look at your paper, it says about why church and the scripture, Psalm 131. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And if you know that this psalm is by King David, and he finally had the glory to, you know, there was the northern and the south, you know, the tribes. He finally came together, and he was so joyous when they together to worship. Oh, that's a hard thing to do, you know. So I have kept that psalm in my hand, in my heart for a long time, because I know that in a church there are things that will stir up, you know, and we can worship together, okay? And so, before I go, before I go into it, I would like to read something. And you know, we sang that song, Jesus is the center. And what is the center of the what? Of the church, amen? And you know, he is the head of the mysterious church. And we are the body. Okay. So I want to just read this and just to get you going, okay. Have you ever been in love? Okay. Remember back to those first dizzy days? Nothing else really matters, did it? Beyond when you would see your sweetheart next. Spending time with him or her was the most important thing in your life. Did you just rush to stores to be ready earlier or linger in front of the mirror, making sure everything was perfect? Could you think of anything else to talk about, or were you so overcome that you couldn't talk about it, talk at all? Did you marry your first sweetheart? Okay. Even if you waited for the second or the third, there was still a time of a first love. Okay, wasn't there? And then you got married, and then the real life started to kick in. Okay, just a little bit, okay? So, aloha, by reading the message, Why Church and the Scripture 133:1, you can get a sense that I'd be concerned about church, okay, and the importance of the church to worship together. There is always another awareness that those who attend church but leap from church to church. Why? Is it because they are missing that puzzle of a peace, you know, that peace, and seek to those answers to comfort their life? Well, each church must motivate and encourage their followers, okay? It's my hope, okay, that your time will be benefitable hearing this sermon today. Okay. Let's first in your paper. A. The word in church should be profitable, okay? In your time and the things that you learn. Now, in church, we get the apostles' inspired teachings. Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, I got to tell you this. When I saw that word, reproof, you know. You know, Pastor Ben, he's always giving us scriptures and he's divvying it out, you know. So I says, oh, is it true? Is it true? And we know that, okay. But when you go to and you listen to a broadcast on the TV or whatever, there is the truth in every scripture and what they come out to use. Okay. So, wow. I know Pastor Ben, he's got that lot of that inspiration when he takes the scripture and he opens up for our heart. Okay. All right. So, let's see. Okay. So, the inspiration of God was given to make the Bible was through our our disciples, you know, and then it is God breathed, meaning that it was a spiritual influence able to write, you know, the New Testament. Okay, all right. So it is profitable for the doctrine to reprove, for our correction in the things in our lives, and for instruction in righteousness. Okay. Now, it's in church where we gather together to learn God's word, to worship in truth and spirit. And that's John 4:24. In spirit, God is spirit, so those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Well, praise God now. Although that the apostles were present in person now to teach the new believers, even today, they're in heaven, they still teach us, yeah, through God's inspired writings recorded in the Bible. Praise God. Now, as New Testament believers, we are taught about Jesus, who it is, what he did, and what he taught. Okay, they teach us the great plans and purposes of God. Okay, as they have unfolded in the history of salvation, they teach us what it means to have to follow Christ in all our own life and situation. Okay, now we're still talking about the church. Now, a good word in the church should motivate our lives, okay? It motivates life. It gives divine guidance. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. This is one of the scriptures when about 30 years ago, okay? Anyway, it's awesome, okay? And if you're lost in this dying world, you will also find your answers in life. Matthew 6:30 helps me. I hope it helps you. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, okay? And live righteousness, and he will give you everything you need, everything new, okay? You know, you got to trust this, you know? You trust this. And I tell you, that's why I'm up here. Okay? Now, it's a great feeling when one captures God's grace through faith in our lives, yeah? And establishes a new life. Now, Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we are God's masterpiece. Whew. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Yes, it is hearing the word, it's what produces our faith. Oh, I love that. Okay, now let me share, you know, for those three scriptures I wrote, as I said, let me tell you something about those. Let me share a story of my life, okay, growing up without spiritual knowledge from Open Door Christian Ministries teachings through God's scriptures. I had good parents who provided for my needs from childhood until I graduated college. My dad could only attend school until ninth grade, and my mom until the fourth grade. Times were so hard, so my parents had to work, you know, to support the family. So they couldn't teach me much because the education, except I remember my mom, she had those, you know, multiple cards, 2 times 2 is 3 times 3, you know. I remember that, you know, and oh boy. Okay, wow. Okay. So they couldn't teach me much, okay. But culturally, I was taught carefully to respect others. In those days, every family was to help each other because they were all poor. So if you need to do something to help to make a fence or a house or a stone wall, all the parents, all the families would come. Okay, all right. So, all right. So. Now, I fear doing anything wrong because those things are culturally to this and not to dishonor the family's name. But especially, I feared my dad. Okay, he was really, oh man, okay. But I love him, okay. Okay, now, somehow I made it through college without much guide. But while in college, I tagged with older students who introduced me to liquor and marijuana. I learned a bit to drink, but never took any marijuana and never learned to swear. Okay, I also learned to steal food from the sandwich machines and also to avoid paying parking tickets by lifting the wooden gates, which would automatically, you know, lift up and scoot out. Okay, now all things have been during the darkness of night while studying in the University of Hawaii libraries. Okay, I will tell you that my life was quiet to others except those things, and did not get into adventures, okay, like many people. You might say that my life was dull because mostly I stayed within myself and avoided mischief. As I observed how others acted boldly, I somehow knew that I'd be different, okay, from them. I thought I had robbed my life by not boozing, doing drugs, etc. But one day I told a friend about that, and what she said, I'd never forget. You didn't miss anything. Okay. Well, I didn't know more about what she meant, but it stuck on me. You see, I needed someone yet to guide me and explain life. When my friends had graduated, I was alone. Well, those were the days of my young life, okay? I didn't have the best morals of my friends, okay? But somehow I kept myself clean, but still needed to help to manage my life. If I had to describe growing up, it was mostly lonesome, self-righteousness, not very confident, and angry at times. Why? Because there was no was another that I could lean on for my life. Okay? All right. God's desire is for everyone to attend, God's desire is for everyone to attend his church. Now, God has his own plans for us. Now, I'm not sure if you have this one, but Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says Lord. They are plans for good and not for the disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's plan is this, Matthew 29:19. It says, therefore, to make disciples of the nations, adapting baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, with those two scriptures, there was a big change in my life because the scripture. It's how the church rebuilt my discipleship and caring for the church and my fellow disciples in the church. In attending church consistently, it also shows that God, our heart, yeah, like mine too. Yes, there is an importance of your heart to God, okay? At times, you can't attend. God still knows your heart, okay? We should attend church constantly, but not to collect spiritual bonus points. But because we love God, love His people, and love His word. Amen? Okay. Now, God examines our heart to hear His plan for discipleship. Okay. God's more concerned about your quality with His relation with you. God is not impressed by a person simply because he attends every service. God's discerning desire is to build up in Christ, and His method in this age involves the local church. God's more concerned, okay, about your quality with His relation with Him. Yes, God is determined not by how often he or she is in church, but one must understand God's love is His children, and is not based on the number of times they attend formal services. 1 John 1:5 says, "Everyone who believes that Christ is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too." Okay? So only if you don't come, remember now, it's the reason why he would want you to be here, okay? To love his children too. Now, God loves also our fellowship with them and encourage others, Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." Oh, I like that. You know, when we get together and we share, oh my God, you know, and we have a problem sometimes. We have a good rapport and it